Can we expect you to name more names in the coming weeks and months?
Yes. Todd Blanche is violating the law. There's still millions of files they haven't released. We know from talking to the victims' lawyers that their own 302 forms haven't been released. We know the files have been over-redacted. I have released at least three names of billionaires who are implicated in this. I don't think it's possible to get to convictions with Todd Blanche at the top and with the FBI director, Kash Patel, at the top, because they've effectively both perjured themselves by saying that there's nobody else in the files. Even Melania doesn't believe that. The First Lady knows that Jeffrey Epstein didn't act alone. And here's the great thing, Kristen. Whether I'm in Congress or not, the Epstein Files Transparency Act is a law, and it goes on for years. So if we can't get this attorney general and this FBI director to do the right thing, the next ones who take those seats are obligated by law to release the files that these individuals are not releasing now.
This is my video update on this Monday afternoon, May the 25th, coming to you from Moscow. Let's talk about some news. And before we get into today's news stories, let me thank everybody who likes this video. Let me thank everybody who is commenting down below. Thank you for all of the amazing comments. Thank you to everyone that is subscribed to this channel or will subscribe to this channel. And a big thank you to everyone that is smashing that hype button. Everyone loves the hype button. What it does, who knows? But it is cool, that hype button. So thank you to everyone that is hyping, liking, hyping, subscribing, and commenting. All right, let's discuss Iran and an Iran deal that was possibly going to be announced yesterday. Even the Trump administration was talking about an imminent deal between the United States and Iran, a deal that was going to be announced very, very soon, possibly announced very, very soon. And we started to get some details about the Iran-US deal, a 60-day continuation of the ceasefire, a signing of a memorandum of understanding. The 60 days of ceasefire would lead to negotiations focused on the uranium enrichment. And also during those 60 days, we would get a possible opening of the Strait of Hormuz. We would also get a possible U.S. lifting of the sea blockade, and also the United States possibly lifting some sanctions. That was pretty much what the media was outlining with a possible deal that might have even been announced yesterday, but it was not announced. It was not announced. And in my video update yesterday, I even mentioned that Iran had acknowledged that progress was being made between the United States and Iran. But they also said that Trump's statements about an imminent deal, about a deal being announced soon, We're getting way ahead of all of the negotiations that are taking place, and time was needed. There had been progress, but it was not going to be announced as quickly as Trump was making it out to be. That was the statement from Iran. And picking up on Iran's statement, the Trump White House then announced that the United States is in no rush to make a deal. So Iran says, whoa, we're not quite to the point where we're going to announce a deal in the next day or two. And then the Trump White House says, okay, well, we're in no rush. So that was pretty much the statement from the Trump White House, in no rush. Isn't this beautiful, by the way? Absolutely amazing. All right, let's walk outside. Then Trump, he started to go after all the people that are criticizing the possible deal between the United States and Iran. He actually called the critics losers. He called them losers. Yeah, that is what he said in a Truth Social post. Do I have that post? If I make a deal with Iran, it will be a good and proper one, not like the one made by Obama, which gave Iran massive amounts of cash and a clear and open path to a nuclear weapon. Our deal is the exact opposite, but nobody has seen it or knows what it is. It isn't even fully negotiated yet, so don't listen to the losers who are critical about something they know nothing about. Unlike those before me who should have solved this problem many years ago, I don't make bad deals, President DJT. So no one knows what the deal's about. It's going to be a great deal, better than the deal that Obama made. No one really knows all the details of the deal. And the deal has not been fully negotiated yet. It's going to be a great deal, though. And to all the critics out there, you are a bunch of losers. Does that include Lindsey Graham? He's a critic. He's a critic, Lindsey Graham. Does that include Pompeo, Ted Cruz, Netanyahu? They're all criticizing this possible deal between the United States and Iran. Are they a bunch of losers? Interesting statement from the U.S. president. CNN is reporting that during the possible uranium negotiations, if there is a deal, during those 60 days, what will also be discussed is the disposal of the uranium stockpiles. Yeah, Trump said that the Iran talks are orderly and constructive. Both sides must take their time. He also said there can be no mistake. So now it's Trump saying, slow down, slow down. No announcement coming just yet. Things are going well, orderly. Everything is orderly, but we are going to take our time. He really went after Obama as well. That says a lot. He really bashed Obama, the JCPOA. Talked about how his deal is going to be the exact opposite of the JCPOA. The opposite, much better, better than anything Obama negotiated or ever could have negotiated. Which means that the deal is going to be exactly like the JCPOA, if there is going to be a deal. It's going to be like the JCPOA, but it's actually going to be worse. Because the JCPOA had none of this Hormuz stuff going on. And now the deal, much of the deal, is focused on opening Hormuz, which was opened 70, 80 days ago. So it's going to be very much, if I had to take a guess, very much like the JCPOA. And it's going to have to include some U.S. concessions to Iran in order to open up Hormuz, or at least get Hormuz moving to ships that are not approved by Iran or are not paying the fee. And we have some information on what's being negotiated with regards to the Strait of Hormuz. Iran has come out with some statements where they are saying that Hormuz is going to remain under the control of Iran. There were some reports saying that Hormuz was going to revert to the way it was before the war. There were statements saying that it was going to be managed, maybe even managed by a group of countries or something like that. But Iran is saying no, no, no. They are going to be operating, controlling Hormuz along with Oman. They're going to work out some sort of a deal with Oman. And a bilateral arrangement is actually what Iran is saying. And that is how Hormuz is going to operate. And that's my understanding, is that this is going to be non-negotiable. Iran also, the ministry also said that there might not be a fee for ships that pass once a bilateral agreement is made with Oman, and they figure out the mechanism and the formula for Hormuz. There might not be a toll for ships passing through Hormuz. maybe not a toll, but a tax? I don't know. Maybe not a toll, but a fee that's paid towards maintaining the Strait of Hormuz, like what the Chinese have arranged with Iran. Something like that could be set up. Just don't call it a toll. Call it something else. Wow, Trump really went off on Obama yesterday. He really went off on Obama and the JCPOA, and he even posted a meme of the Shady Bunch, which is the Obama administration. This is a bad group of people. And there you can see the photo of the Brady Bunch, the Shady Bunch. Samantha Power, yeah, Susan Rice, James Clapper, Comey, Brennan, Obama. I'm not going to argue with with that one. I am not going to argue with that one at all. Yeah, a nasty group of people, in my opinion. Clapper, Comey, Samantha Power. Yeah. They are nasty. The Shady Bunch. And then Trump posted an image of a missile with the writing, "Thank you for your attention to this matter." I guess this is a way to scare Iran. I guess that's what he is doing with this image. And then Netanyahu, he posted an image of himself and Trump with the words, "Iran will never have a nuclear weapon." So you can see the resistance, the meme image messaging resistance from Netanyahu. "Iran will never have a nuclear weapon." Standing strong with Trump behind him, Benjamin Netanyahu. Okay, so that's an update on the whole Iran thing. Back and forth, up and down, left and right. And oil price did drop, actually, in anticipation of some sort of a big announcement, a big deal. So we did get that. I believe it dropped by around $5, $5. So someone might have made some people might have made a good trade yesterday on all of the news coming out with regards to a possible deal. Let's now talk about the British Defense Secretary, a man who needs no introduction, a strong man. Strong man, a patriotic man representing the United Kingdom, a decisive man, Mr. John Healey. Mr. John Healey traveling on a jet, on a plane to Estonia, traveling right up to the border with Russia, Mr. John Healey. And wouldn't you know it? The plane that John Healey was on board, their radars, their signals, jammed. every time I hear the word, the plane's radar or the plane's signals, their electronics were jammed. I think of that movie Spaceballs, where the Darth Vader Spaceballs character is looking at the radar, and the radar guy says, "We've been jammed," and the jam is falling on the window of the radar, and they're like, must be strawberry." Anyway, I don't know why that popped into my head. Most people probably are not even going to even know what I'm referencing, but that was a funny movie. Anyway, all right, so John Healey's plane was jammed. It was jammed. Everyone's okay. Everyone on board is okay. No need to worry. John Healey is fine. But he was right up onto the Russian border, and everything went screwy. What are you doing on the Russian border? That's the first question that everyone's asking. Well, if you get up right to the Russian border, yeah, things might get jammed. Okay. So yeah, he was provoking, getting right up to the border. And the Times put out a very long article about this incident with the title, "Russia Jammed." Russia Jammed. Strawberry. Blueberry. Russia jammed signals of RAF jet carrying Defense Secretary John Healey was flying home after visiting British troops stationed in Estonia, which is seen as a likely target for an invasion. So the article spends around, it's about three paragraphs or four paragraphs, short paragraphs, where it actually talks about the jamming, the jamming incident. And then the rest of the article, and it's a long article, the rest of the article talks about how awesome Healey is, how awesome the UK Defense Ministry is, how awesome NATO is, how awesome NATO fortifications in Estonia are. It talks about Dragon's Teeth and all of these fortifications which are being built and constructed or are already in place, which will prevent the future Russian invasion of Estonia. And that's the whole article. The whole article is talking about Healey, the MIC, NATO, Estonia, fortifications and stuff like that. And it actually made me think that the whole jamming thing was just clickbait, right? It was just clickbait to get everybody to read about how cool the UK Defense Ministry is and how cool NATO is and how they're spending everyone's money to everyone, how they're spending NATO members' money to prepare for some sort of an invasion into Estonia. So I wasted my time actually reading this long article. And the conclusion that I came with is clickbait. It's a clickbait title about the defense secretary's plane getting jammed. And then I read an advertisement, the military industrial complex NATO advertisement. So anyway, that is the news about Healey. By the way, we have news about NATO and Rutte's proposition, his demand. Proposition, let's call it a proposition, for NATO member states to lock in 0.25% of their GDP to go to Ukraine, to go to Le Gobelin Vert. And this has no connection to the 5% that Rutte wants from NATO members. This is something else, something totally different. He is asking NATO member states for an additional 0.25% that will be fully dedicated to Ukraine forever and ever and ever. 0.25% of your GDP to go to the Green Goblin. That was Rutte's idea. That was his proposal. And we have NATO member states shooting it down. They don't like it. They don't like it at all. The countries that do not like Rutte's idea of 0.25% are the big ones. UK, France, Spain, Italy, Canada, they've all rejected this 0.25% of GDP military assistance to Ukraine. Yeah. We have the Juan Guaido of Belarus. She showed up in Kiev yesterday. She took the midnight train from Poland to Kiev. I'm talking about Tikhanovskaya, who the European Union considers to be the real president of Belarus. Nah, they're not delusional. Not at all. They are not delusional at all. They actually believe that Tikhanovskaya is the president of Belarus. And she showed up in Kiev to meet with the Green Goblin. The Green Goblin invited her to Kiev because he's trying to mock Lukashenko because he's panicking about some sort of Belarus invasion or involvement in the war with Ukraine. And a couple of days ago, Le Gobelin Vert put out a video threatening Belarus, talking about a preemptive Ukrainian strike if they feel that Belarus is about to get involved in the conflict. Lukashenko just brushed it all off. But yeah, the Green Goblin is panicking. He is in panic mode when it comes to Belarus. He's afraid that there's going to be some sort of of an operation with Belarus or using Belarus, which will focus on Kiev. And that's what's really freaking him out, an operation towards Kiev anyway. In order to mock Lukashenko or to stick it to Lukashenko, he decided to invite the Juan Guaido of Belarus, Tikhanovskaya. So he's going to be meeting with her today. I don't understand exactly what the it's the meeting between the illegitimate president and the make-believe president. That's what it is. It's going to be a meeting between the illegitimate president, the president who refuses, the one-time president who refuses to hold an election, and the person who the cool kids in Brussels actually believes is the president of Belarus. Okay. All right. That'll be an interesting meeting. Nice to meet you, Miss Guaido. Mr. President, yes, Podolyak? Her name is not Miss Guaido. It's Tikhanovskaya. What you mean? I thought it was Miss Guaido. Everyone calls her Mrs. Guaido. Anyway, all right. That is the update there. As expected, the European Union, they put out an AI scripted message about the Oreshnik strike into Kiev. None of them are mentioning anything about the dormitory. No mention there. But they did freak out with the Oreshnik. I think I should not have crossed, actually. I think it was red. I was not paying attention. That was very stupid. But of course, they're freaking out about the Oreshnik. Of course, they're blaming Russia. They're saying that this is more Russian aggression, as predicted. And they all put out the same message. And of course, Ursula and co, they decided to to come up with the narrative, as predicted, that this is not a sign of strength. This is a sign of Russian weakness. Ursula said, and it's the same message between all of them, so I'll just read you Van der Pirate's message. Russia's massive attack on Ukraine last night shows the Kremlin's brutality and disregard for both human life and peace negotiations. Terror against civilians is not strength, it's despair. We stand firmly behind Ukraine with further support on the way to reinforce its air defense systems. Yeah, Kallas was talking about reinforcing sanctions or toughening up the sanctions, and Ursula is talking about reinforcing Ukraine's air defense, because Ukraine's air defense was a no-show. They have no air defense. There's no more air defense, to be quite honest. There's some around Kiev. But the Russian missiles, they pretty much hit whatever target they were aiming for. I don't even know where they're going to get air defense systems. She's talking about reinforcing air defense systems. From who? From where? Where are you going to get the air defense? I mentioned yesterday that Japan is waiting on Patriot interceptors, and the United States told Japan, you're going to have to wait. They were supposed to get the interceptors, and then the United States said, 2-year wait. When they say 2-year wait, they mean a 4-year wait. So Japan is waiting. There are no interceptors. They're being all used up in the conflict with Iran. And if there are any interceptors that the United States has lying around, which the United States absolutely does, they are saving those for a possible, probable restart to the war against Iran. They're not just going to hand those out to the Europeans or Le Gobelin Vert. So Estonian intel... This is not clown world. Estonian intel, they were interviewed by CNN. I believe the chief of Estonian intel, and the chief of Estonian intel told CNN that Russia is out of time. I think the theme of my video today is time. Time. No need to rush. The U.S. has got time, according to Trump, and according to Estonia. According to Estonia, the Kremlin is out of time. That is what Estonia's spy chief told CNN. Russian president is running out of time to win the war against Ukraine amid a stalemate on the battlefield and growing troubles at home, according to Estonia's head of foreign intel, Kapu Rosin. In an interview with CNN in the Estonian capital, Rosin said that within the next 4 or 5 months, Putin may not be able to negotiate from a position of strength anymore because time is not in Russia's favor. Time's up, according to the Estonian foreign intel chief. And everyone knows that Estonia's intel agencies are the best in the business. Top notch. They are top notch. They know exactly what's going on in the Kremlin with the Russian economy on the front lines. They've got the 360 Annalena Baerbock full picture of everything that is happening in Russia. The Estonian foreign intel. So much projection. I don't think it's 4 or 5 months for Russia, Mr. Estonian intel chief. I think it's 4 or 5 months for the Green Goblin and the Europeans. The Europeans who, a lot of music. The Europeans who in the next few months are going to have gas problems and oil problems. Yep. Just wait until September. Wait until September. If the Hormuz is not solved, things are going to get pretty bad for Europe. Very bad for Europe. So we have a Vucic traveling to Beijing. He is going to be in Beijing for five days in Beijing. He's going to sign a whole lot of documents, contracts, investment deals. Over 35 documents are expected to be signed between Serbia and China. And Vucic, he made an interesting statement as he was making his way over to China. Everyone is heading to Beijing. Huh? Everyone is going to Beijing. Xi Jinping is just hanging out, receiving all the world leaders, making deals. So what did Vucic say? Vucic, he said that, I'm going to go in here. Looks nice. But let me read you what's going on with Vucic. That he cannot talk with Russia. He cannot talk with China, he said, because the EU is constantly pressuring him and questioning him and telling him not to talk to China and not to talk to Russia and all of these things. And he's getting sick of it. You can tell he's getting sick of it, Vucic. He called on the EU to provide him with a list of countries with which he can and cannot communicate. Then Vucic said that, you know what? Because the EU is just trying to control my every move and trying to tell me who I can talk to and who I cannot talk to and what I can say to them and what I cannot say to them, Vucic said that perhaps the EU should just give me a list. Just give me a list with whom I am allowed to meet and with whom not. That is what he said. And then the question arises, why do we even need a president? Why do we need a government? Why do we need any state institutions? Let someone then govern the country by email and fax from some kind of power center, and that's all. He just described the European Union, Vucic. He just described the EU, my man. It's exactly a description of the EU. You don't really need a president. You don't really need a prime minister. You don't really need a government. Just hand it all over to Brussels, right? He described the European Union. Very good description. It's actually cold this morning and raining a bit as well, and now it's getting warm. The weather is changing here, changing by the hour. Okay, so that's Vucic, an interesting statement from the president of Serbia. And one more story before we get into our clown world. And that is that Thomas Massey, he was on NBC News, I believe. And he was asked about the Epstein files. And Massey said that before he leaves the house, he will name Epstein's clients. That is what he said. Why does he not just name the clients now? Just get onto the house floor and name the clients. What are we waiting for? What are you waiting for? Well, I think he is waiting for the DOJ to do its job. I was listening to Robert Barnes and Viva, and Barnes was explaining that Massey is actually hoping. He's basically telling the DOJ, not hoping, telling the DOJ, do your job so I don't have to do it for you. And so we'll wait and see if the Trump White House and the Department of Justice does its job and names the clients, or if they decide, nah, we're not going to do any of that, then it is going to be left up to Massey to do the work for them. All right, let's do some clown worlds. And we can wrap up today's video. And clown world number one is about the possible negotiations, not going to happen, but the negotiations that some EU leaders are talking about, possibly happening, where they have mentioned Merkel as their representative, as their envoy to negotiate with Putin. They've also talked about Draghi being a possible negotiator to speak with Putin. And they also mentioned Alexander Stubb, the leader of Finland. So those are the three candidates. And Stubb said that if the EU tapped him to be the negotiator, he'll do it. He is ready to negotiate with Putin. I will be there to speak to Russia on behalf of the EU. Stubb stated that he would not turn down the role of EU representative in peace negotiations with Russia if offered. That would be funny to see Stubb trying to negotiate with Lavrov and Putin. Stupidy Stubb at the same table with the president of Russia and the foreign minister. Talk about a mismatch. Talk about a mismatch. I mean, Stubb. Stubb would be a mismatch for for the Russian president, of course. Right? Stubb is a very capable, very talented negotiator. Very, very talented. Very tough negotiator, Alexander Stubb. Okay, let's finish off today's clown world with an article from the UK Telegraph. The UK Telegraph is once again talking about how it's game over for Putin. Game over, according to the Telegraph. Putin is a man on the edge. These are the telltale signs. Even if peace were reached on terms acceptable to the Kremlin, the damage to Russia's geopolitical standing would remain. Putin is a man on the edge, says the Telegraph. These are the telltale signs. Oh my God. He's on the edge, living on the edge. Just don't push me, man. I'm on the edge. Don't push me. That's right. Yep. And so the article talks about all the signs that prove that he is on the edge. It doesn't really say much, to be quite honest. Kind of goes through the history of why Russia is bad, why Putin is bad. It goes through all the history. It goes through all of it. 10 years back, it goes 10, 20 years back. And then it tries to create some sort of a connection, a historical connection between Tsar Alexander and the Russian president. That's the big reveal of this article, right? That is what makes this article so unique and so special. It creates a connection between Tsar Nicholas II and Putin. Brilliant piece of analysis from the Telegraph. And everything about that they say about Russia, the economy, the military, everything that they write in this article is basically their projection. That's all it is. Always projection with them. Always projection. But anyway, it was a Clown World article. I thought I would bring it up. I think I will end the video there. TheDuran.locals.com. We are on X and Rumble and Telegram. Go to the Duran shop, pick up some merch. We have an awesome special running on the Duran shop, 30% off. T-shirts and hats. We have the best hats. And we're also on Substack. We have a very cool Substack going on. And I'm just checking to see if there's any breaking news that I need to mention before I depart. No, there's nothing breaking. All right, I covered everything for today. I will see everybody tomorrow. Take care. I thought I would record an update to my video, which I have already, my main video, which I've already finished up. And I don't know if this update will be added to the beginning or if I will add this on to the end of my main video. But I do have some breaking news, which just came in. And it has to do with the Russian strike into Kiev, the big strike that hit Kiev, along with the Oreshnik missile that hit a target outside of Kiev. We have a statement from the Russian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Maria Zakharova, who is saying that the strikes will continue. These strikes at military facilities, decision-making centers, strikes into the capital of Ukraine. They will now be occurring on a regular basis. At least that's what it sounds like. And a warning will be given to diplomats in Ukraine to evacuate, to get out of Ukraine, because it does look like the gloves are coming off, at least if you go by the statement from Maria Zakharova. Let me read you what she said. In the near future, the Ministry of Foreign Affairs will release a special statement regarding the strikes that have been and will continue to be carried out on Kiev in response to the corresponding terrible terrorist attacks, and a warning to foreign diplomatic corps, which will be set out in full detail in that statement. Pretty clear what she's saying. A warning to diplomats and strikes that have been and will continue to be carried out on Kiev. Direct quote from the Ministry of Foreign Affairs. Anyway, that is the breaking news. I will get back to my editing and my uploading so I can get this video out. I will see everybody soon.